Joe, we are revisiting a conversation that we had last month about housing issues. There are two events. The first is on August 26th, and that is a renters' assembly. We'll talk again about what that is. That will be at the Midland Library at 5:30 p.m. The second event is August 28th, and that is a rally and march gathering at 6 p.m. City Hall with the theme of housing rights for all, housing as a human right. And these are some of the questions that we're going to try to address this morning. Obviously, there's a lot to say about this and a lot being said about these issues, so we'll dig in. Joe, you've been very involved with the Renters Assembly. Let's talk a little bit about what that is before we kind of dig into the meat of it.
Well, the Renters Assembly is just a community institution that has been going on for the last 6-7 months since February. An artist named Tori Abernathy, who has since been my co-organizer, started it. I attended the first series of them in February, and we have organized several since, and this will be our fourth series of them. And basically, they are a time and a place for people in the community, especially those most affected by the rental and the housing crisis in general, to come and tell their stories and to learn both what's been happening to other people, but also learn about history and existing organizations working on these issues, and to then, as that group, discuss political strategy and social values.
Joe, there's a lot of misconceptions about who is actually being affected by this. There's actually a very broad demographic of people who are struggling to find housing at all, and affordable housing in particular. Can you talk a little bit about the demographic of folks who are struggling here and who's involved and what it kind of looks like for this crisis? Who's being affected?
Well, lots of people, but especially the poorest, which includes both black and white and other races, but it's disproportionately affected people of color for a lot longer, who have been disproportionately affected by the economic forces that cause poverty, not to mention blatant racism. But the city's median income is supposed to be around $47,000, and the national median income is around $25,000 to $30,000. And so what we're seeing is a lot of people who are working full-time jobs, even in two-person households, who are not able to keep up with the rent increases.
And this is counter to, I think, a lot of what happens in the imagination of many folks about who's affected here, because Portland did used to be a place where you could actually find incredibly affordable housing. I will tell you that my first apartment in Portland in 1986 was $190 a month, shared with another person. And that just doesn't exist anymore. That allowed me to go to school and not work full time, and lots of things that are actually kind of good for people to have an opportunity to do something else other than work. And wages are also stagnant. You're alluding to that with the median income issues. So we're talking about a wide range of people who are affected, not just by the affordability, but the lack of housing, which opens up this whole other question about how did we get to this point? Can you address some of that?
Well, Portland has been a historically very white city. It certainly has not been a white-only city, although in its early days, Oregon sought to be a white-only state. But because of the preponderance of white culture, especially among private property owners in Portland, there was not a lot of pressure because of white flight and an inward flux of people of color and otherwise poor working-class folks that made other major U.S. cities become very dense. Because there was not this dynamic, some say that Portland has not, you know, caught up with these pressures that make cities capable of being livable and yet dense, and that now that Portland has become trendy, there is not this kind of just history of trying to support dense populations, and we are now experiencing that now, whereas that may have been experienced for other cities decades ago.
So, Joe, let's get back to the core of our conversation here, which is really about housing rights for all and housing as a human right. Housing is subject to the market. It's a great proposal to look at housing from a completely different perspective, which is that it is something that we all need and we should all have access to. It's a human right. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think that in our market society, it is taken for granted that if we are going to have access to material goods, even those that we classify as needed goods, it has to come through the private market that is this collection of people acting on profit interests, on competitive interests. And when we place something as essential to our well-being and to our social functioning as housing under the auspices of all of that, it runs into contradictions, especially contradictions between those who can afford to have access to it and those who can't.
So really part of the argument is that if the market is not compatible with housing accessibility for all people, then we have to make that shift. So in terms of political strategy, then what does that look like?
Well, I think that it looks like a number of different things and can start in a number of different places depending on where the people in the city are. One straightforward kind of concept would be we simply need more public housing. We need to build housing that is managed by public entities. But maybe we don't trust the Housing Bureau of Portland to do that or any similar sort of existing state institution. Well, there are community land trusts and similar sort of community-based organizational approaches to managing large properties. And then there is the simple fact that housing exists and there are people who are living in it, paying into the private profit of large developers and large landlords, and that with a tenants' union, those properties could be seized. Maybe we don't want to use such an aggressive term, but they can be reappropriated and directed towards the actual needs that they're supposed to serve rather than the profit needs of the corporations that often own them.
Go back to the community land trust. There's, of course, lots to be said about this, lots written about it, but just give us a little bit of an idea of what's going on there.
Well, a community land trust is an approach, a collective approach to ownership. And in particular, what is owned is the land on which different kinds of property might then be individually or sub-individually owned by different parties. And this, we have a community land trust in Portland called Proud Ground, and there are other community land trusts out west. I have heard of the San Francisco Community Land Trust, but the thing with these arrangements is, at least so far, they've tend to be oriented towards single-family home ownership, which is not the worst thing in the world, but really a lot of our questions to do with how do we house everyone are butting up against these environmental pressures that also demand that we look beyond single-family homes as what we want.
And there's certainly a lot of value placed on that kind of nuclear family reality. It is a lot to butt up against. And it's a major shift. You mentioned social values, bringing that piece together with the notion of the well-being of our citizens. There's really a shift in thinking, a shift in allegiance, I think, that has to happen. And part of what the renters assemblies do is create opportunities for people to gather collectively and engage each other and learn and, I think, perhaps make some of these shifts in how we think about what we are, what we have a right to, how we organize that entity, housing. Talk a little bit more about the renters assemblies. And again, I want to remind folks that there is a gathering on August 26th at the Midland Library, 5:30 p.m., and then we'll talk about the rally a little bit later.
Well, the assemblies have been in part like individual stories, but then the last part of each assembly has ended on group discussion, and that group discussion has been productive, and one idea leads to another sometimes, and other times it's been a bit more groping and hopeful. And I think both of those really express the situation we're in, where on the one hand, we have ideas and we have ways of connecting, but we're also being alienated from one another. And we have a tough time thinking through a collective conscious perspective on our needs. And so the assemblies have been a place for people to physically face-to-face come together and experience one another's emotional state as we talk about these things. And then to have a real-time rapid back and forth that is supplemented by all of that emotional knowledge with intellectual thinking around the issue of what is housing, who doesn't have it, who needs it, and how do we get it to the people who need it.
It's a tall order, but it's a great thing to see festering in the city. So let's get to the rally and let folks know again some of the particulars about the theme of the rally and what we're hoping to get out of it.
Well, we are going to meet at City Hall on the 4th Street side entrance, where there's a big open area, and we are going to rally, where we will hear from some speakers, including Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Dream 2, and possibly others involved more on the tenant organizing side of what's going on in Portland. There's a nascent tenants union that I understand is going to appear at probably both, but at least the rally and march. And then after we hear from about a half hour's worth of speakers, we're going to march across the Hawthorne Bridge to the Multnomah County building. And both of these sites are symbolic of, at least right now, the powers that we are appealing to when it comes to who can try and provide housing and deal with the housing issue. We have the city government, and then we have the county government. And both of those governments have a hand in the housing crisis. The city is responsible for the way that land is being bought and sold. The county is responsible for kicking people out when landlords choose to do that. The sheriffs are the people who actually enforce evictions. And so that, for us, is a symbolic place to start. But the Midland Assembly is also another important site, because we are going further out east into East Portland, which has been a historically underserved area, and it's really the next site of gentrification. Like, Inner Portland, people talk about how Old Portland is dead, and what they're talking about is Inner Portland being gentrified, and it's not done yet, and there's still a fight there, but there's a new battle starting to form out east, and so that is why we have chosen the Midland Library. We need to appeal to and call for action from people who actually live in these places.
And displacement and gentrification are a huge piece of this as well. Very broad and complicated conversation, but I think we see that happening in so many areas, and it's not a local problem. It's really a global problem. There, something that we can dig into perhaps on another occasion. So, Joe, thank you for being here. We're both old moles, Denise Morris and Joe Clement, for the Old Mole Variety Hour. We're talking about housing rights for all, housing as a human right. Again, Midland Library, 5:30 on August 26th, Renters Assembly, and Rally in March, August 28th. That's at City Hall, 6 p.m. Thanks, Joe.
This city's yours and this city's mine, and we've gotta save it while we still can, from the moneyed interest and the wealthy owners. This city belongs to you and me. As I was wandering them condo canyons, the kind that look like corporate mansions, I met a beggar who pointed round and asked me, when all this all along to you and me? There was an empty house that stood before me. The sign was faded, said private property, but on the other side it didn't say nothing. That side was made for you and me. This city's yours and this city's mine, and we've gotta save it while we still can, from the moneyed interest and the wealthy owners. This city belongs to you and me.